Hello, family. How is everyone doing today? I have to set the vibe before we get started.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're just coming off Galentine's weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We spent the weekend together. Ross is out of town. And it was a real Galentine's Day extravaganza.
Okay.
Like, we made cookies, we watched our programs, we ordered food, we got into little tiffs, got high off our gourds.
Mm-hmm.
I made a Lego door. Didn't get to finish the whole thing.
That was a door?
Well, it was, yeah. It's like the side of a bus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But right now, so we're recording together. So mm-hmm. We usually don't record this episode together. But I'm here. So we have the same vibe that we have for Fun Cut Friday.
Yeah.
And the best part is it's like raining today.
I know. It's so cozy.
It is so cozy. The only thing that sucks is we love doing this, but it was hard to get the energy to walk down the hallway and for Brooke to get into a bed and me to sit on a chair.
But we also had to write these stories and research them.
Right, right.
Which yeah. Also probably sounds not hard.
Yeah, we had to scroll through Instagram and mm-hmm. That can be labor intensive.
I had to Google stuff. I mean, it's not all as easy as it looks.
I know. We make it seem so simple. We never complain about anything related to putting this podcast up.
Never.
So know when we say we struggled.
Yeah, we did.
But it's cozy. The vibes are cozy.
It is very cozy. Yeah.
Okay. So today we've got updates on Nancy Guthrie, James Vanderbeek, Britney Spears, Brad Pitt, and Tommy Boy Cruz,
mm-hmm.
Stefan Diggs. And then we've got some Olympic drama to break down.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's go.
Okay. So let's get the really depressing stuff out of the way.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like, we'll do an RIP and then please come home. But in the opposite order.
Yeah.
So Nancy is still missing.
Yes.
TMZ is claiming they got a fourth email from a man who is claiming to know who was behind Nancy's abduction
mm-hmm.
and where she currently is. So this is what keeps confusing me. Why do they keep sending this stuff to TMZ?
Are they sending it directly to TMZ?
It seems like that's what's happening.
I don't know, but this is such a, like, I know I said this before. It's such an 80s crime.
It really is. Like, you send it to the newspaper.
Yeah.
And they print the cutout letters.
Right. Like, is there a cipher? Is there a code to crack? Something?
And I just don't understand. Like, how are they not tracing IP addresses these?
That's what,
like,
I
do you
was...
just need a VPN and then you could be a criminal now?
Are they emailing the notes, do you know? Or are they, like, actually mailing them to these stations?
I think it was email. So, okay. Yes, it's an email. Because, okay. So let me go back. So TMZ says the note had a proposition for the individual reaching out and that the email has the same Bitcoin account as the other three notes it received.
Okay.
So each time they get a letter, they're also getting more requests for Bitcoin.
Hmm.
And so the note says, I know what I saw 5 days ago south of the border, and I was told to shut up so I know who he is, and that was definitely Nancy with them. Now, this is the second reference that they just keep calling the person who wrote the note the individual.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second reference the individual has made to there being more than one person involved in this kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
And in another letter that TMZ got on Friday, the individual wrote, be prepared to go international.
What is that supposed to mean? Like, bank account wise, or?
That's what I don't understand.
Well, you said south of the border.
Uh-huh.
Are they claiming that they've, like, taken her to Mexico or something?
That's what it suggests, because I hear south of the border and that's what I think.
Yeah.
And then the international thing, I was like, are they referring to fame and notoriety? But it's like, they're already there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've seen this on BBC.com.
And how do we know that this person isn't just somebody who's trying to get Bitcoin?
Exactly.
This random fucking nobody is like, oh, here's a good... And why are we talking so much about Bitcoin?
I know. If anything, this is becoming like a advert for Bitcoin.
That's what it is. Who's the CEO of Bitcoin?
Probably a kidnapper.
Thomas Bitz.
who married a Mr. or Mrs. Coin.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's put our names together.
Well, I figured the coin just came from money.
right. Okay, so this newest note is demanding $50,000 in Bitcoin in return for the information. So it sounds like this person isn't actually claiming to be a kidnapper. They're just claiming to have seen.
Right.
And if they want information, they can get $50,000. Now, the question, of course, is they're already offering money for information leading to the capture or whatever. Mm-hmm. The reason why this person doesn't want to come out is because he claims he has a burglary on his record from a decade ago, which is why he's scared to come forward.
So why don't they just say, who gives a shit about your burglary? Like, return the jewels or whatever you took. Return the Mona Lisa.
If you give us the Mona Lisa and tell us where she is,
we'll call it good.
You're good.
That's it.
And he's just been admiring it in his home. He didn't try to sell it or anything. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
He's just a big art fan. And you know what? We can't be that mad at him in the grand scheme of things right now.
This is what I need for this to happen, to just, like, heal the world. Because then it's like, and it turns out she was getting 3 square meals a day. She's getting her pills. She's actually fine. She's just, like, she's trying to cut through to these kidnappers. And, like, please.
It's just insane. Like, there's got to be, what's going on?
I don't know. And I hate it because Savannah seems to be very close to her mom. Oh, and as somebody who's very close to her mom, this is also super, like, hard to watch. I can't imagine actually being Savannah or anyone in that family.
Yeah.
And there's just so much speculation.
I know.
Of course there is. I mean, here we are talking about it.
I know.
But I'm like, Just please let there still be something good that can happen in this world.
Yeah.
Let her come back. And it's hard not to, like, think in terms of TV shows, which is where this kind of stuff is where you see regularly.
Yeah.
But I keep, like, it's like, this is not a TV show. This is real life. And this is somebody, this is somebody's mom. This is somebody's family member.
That's how desensitized we have become as a society. It's like, well, I mean, we see this all the time on TV.
I know.
It's psychotic.
I know.
Yeah. I just miss the days when we used to sit by candlelight and write each other letters. You know?
Yeah. Why do you think I wrote that letter and mailed it? It's the good old days. I wrote a thank you card and mailed a thank you card the other day, and it was a nice throwback to really a time I felt alive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, wrapping up Nancy and her kidnapping, Savannah did post another video on Sunday asking the kidnappers to bring her mom home. It's been 2 weeks.
Wasn't there something about gloves?
Yes.
I keep seeing that.
There was. Wow. I thought I was done with this story, but I was just at the end of the first page.
Right. I was going to. Oh, I thought maybe you didn't see the gloves. I was like, that does not bode well for us writing these scripts ourselves.
No, I have a whole nother section.
Okay.
Wow. So that's the first part of the Nancy story.
That wraps up the first part of Nancy's story, yeah.
This is now the second part. Oh, boy. So the most recent update in this investigation is related to this glove.
Yeah.
The FBI has announced that a glove with DNA was found near Nancy's home, and it seems to be tied to the masked person that we keep seeing in that surveillance footage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Which some people are speculating is a woman. Have you heard that?
I haven't, but I heard them say the person was armed, and I've watched it a few times, and I don't see where they're armed. Not that this matters, but I'm like, how do people pick up all of these details that I can't see?
They said they had arms. You really got to listen, Arisha, during these investigations. The clues.
It's like it was a masked, armed person.
Uh-huh. They were armed and legged.
Armed and legged. They also had eyes.
Uh-huh. They were footed in hand.
They had a neck. It was crazy. So that glove has been found, and there hasn't been any conclusive information that's been shared with the public with it yet, but it seems to be pretty clear they're at least under the impression that it is this person's glove. So hopefully there's something that we'll get from that.
How have they just found this glove now?
I don't know. What I'm really suspicious about is that Sheriff Chris Nanos, mm-hmm. who is the Pima County Sheriff.
Yeah, the one who's crying online or crying on the TV all day.
Yeah.
He's very emotional and personally offended by this case.
Well, it's hilarious you say that because he sat down with Daily Mail.
Oh, my God.
And at one point when I was reading this article, I think I deleted it out of here. Because it was just so absurd where I was like, I can't even say this. But the way that they're describing him, they're like, he's got a white haircut that's reminiscent. And they like compare him to a TV character sheriff, not Bernie, the popular one.
Bernie Fife, yeah.
But I'm just like, what is this? What kind of journalism is this?
Where is he? Arizona?
Yeah.
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 There's some real knuckleheads in Arizona.
Yeah, you can say that again. But so, yeah, he did say that he's frustrated with people online sharing unsubstantiated suspicions and theories. He did say that soon after he took this case or it started, like a day or two after, his brother died. So he was in a very emotional state. And then also dealing with like what the implications of all of this are. But I do, it's like, I can have empathy for that, but why are you talking to the Daily Mail?
Right.
I don't know why anybody investigating any kind of current, especially like high profile case like that, would have the time to sit down for an article talking about yourself.
Well, and also, you're upset by all the speculation, so you're going to the one news source who loves to wildly speculate.
Yeah, in a different country, mind you.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird.
It is weird. He seems like he strikes me as someone who's like, this is also my moment to become a star.
Yeah.
The star sheriff of Arizona.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing, man?
He's like, next stop, Turning Point USA Security. Oh, a God. Guy can dream. Oh, like, God. It's just so insane that anybody as a law enforcement officer, and I know I'm getting a lot of my references from fiction, but they're only focused on cases. They're not sitting down in their like Sunday attire with a Daily Mail reporter talking about why this hits home for them and why, you know, this is the case that's going to make their career. He didn't say that. But still, it's weird. And it's not a good look. And the only saving grace I can think of is sometimes in TV shows, when a character does something that's shitty to another character, it's because they're being held hostage in some way, shape, or form. So maybe the hostages have said, you have to throw your career and be a full of yourself type of a person. Black Mirror style. And that's what's happening here.
Let's maybe brainstorm some more ideas.
Okay. That might have been sponsored by weed, that idea. I don't know. But
most of your ideas are. So is that the final update on Nancy's case?
To wrap it fully up, the FBI is now offering a $100,000 reward for any information leading to Nancy's recovery or an arrest in the case.
Interesting.
Yeah. I hope there's a positive resolution.
I do, too. I mean, I guess it's good that there's some hope that someone has seen her recently.
Yeah.
If that person's legit. But it's got to give you some hope, I guess.
It's got to be hard. I saw somewhere that they were fielding like 50 to 60,000 phone calls. Like some days they had like 5,000 a day.
The FBI.
FBI and police. Like through the tip line. Like so many calls.
What are people saying?
Well, that's the thing. What I learned on Law & Order SVU, a lot of people call in with a lot of ridiculous things that they have to sort through.
That's
where
annoying.
It's like only call if you actually think you know something. But they all probably do think they know something.
Oh, I don't know. Well, let's get our next sad story out of the way. And that is James Van Der Beek.
Yeah.
He passed away last week after a pretty long battle with colon cancer. He was only 48.
I know.
Which is always the saddest part.
Yeah.
We all grew up with James Van Der Beek, I feel like, in one way or the other. So obviously he was Dawson in Dawson's Creek. That was the thing that really kicked his career off. I never watched it all the way through, even though my old neighbor was married to Pacey.
Right.
In Hollywood.
Right.
Joshua Jackson was married to my neighbor. But I like I've seen episodes here and there, but I've never watched it.
I've literally never seen one episode.
And I think that's one we should add to like possibly watch through.
Yes. And we need to start writing these down.
I know. What I did watch, though, many times as a teen, Varsity Blues. Did you watch that?
Nope.
What?
I know.
Oh, my God. I love Varsity Blues. For anyone who doesn't know, he played star quarterback Mox.
Who did?
James Vanderbeek.
Oh.
He's technically the backup quarterback, but when the main quarterback gets injured, he's got to step up and save the day.
Do they call them backup quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking understudies.
Second string, backup, whatever. And also, I would like to pay homage to a role that I don't think gets enough credit.
Hmm.
And that's the role of himself, a very fictional version of himself in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yeah.
He's like super full of him. He's like famous actor James Vanderbeek, and he's best friends with the lead in that show. What's her face?
Kat Dennings?
No. Jessica. She played Jessica Jones.
I know who you're talking about. I cannot think of her name.
I can't think of her name anyway. But that show is hilarious. I love Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. I did a scene from it in an acting class.
Yeah, I think you were the one that told me about James on this show being so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Another show I never watched.
It only had like one or two seasons, maybe.
I know.
Which sucks.
It does suck.
So obviously a lot of people have paid tribute to James after he passed. Katie Holmes posted a handwritten note to him on her Instagram. And she said, James, thank you. To share space with your imagination is sacred. Breathing the same air in the land of make-believe and trusting that each other's hearts are safe in their expression. Her handwriting is not great. I'm like, can I read this letter? She said, these are some of the memories along with laughter, conversations about life, James Taylor songs, Adventures of a Unique Youth. And then she also, at the end of it, she said something to his wife and kids. And she said, we're here for you always and we'll always be there to shower you with love and compassion. And she underlined love.
So she's in love with him?
No, his wife.
Oh, gotcha.
Alfonso Ribeiro, Carlton.
Yes.
He posted two posts, actually. The first post was a picture of him and James side by side. Now, Alfonso is also his daughter's godfather, his daughter Gwen. In the caption, he said, I'm so broken right now with the passing of my friend at Vander James today. He was my true friend, brother, and life guide. I was with him through this horrible journey to beat cancer. His family and friends went on this roller coaster ride. The highs when it looked like he had it beat, to the breaking lows of it coming back. And then he ended it with, I love you, James, and I know I have a guardian angel watching over me. Being able to say goodbye this weekend will always live with me. R.I.P. my brother, R.I.P. He also posted a photo, and this one kind of went viral because this is the one I think everyone saw.
Yes.
Where they're like forehead to forehead.
Yes. He's in a hospital gown.
Yeah. And he said, this was taken by Kimberly Vanderbeek just a few minutes before I said my last goodbye. My last moment was making him laugh one last time. I really miss him already. That was really sweet.
Yeah.
I did not realize those two were so close.
I didn't either. Did you see any of the backlash about that?
Yes. I'm going to get into that right now.
Great.
Do you mean about Alfonso specifically or all of it?
Alfonso specifically. That post.
What do you mean?
Well, and I'm curious what you think about this because some people are like, that's such an intimate moment. Why are you sharing it?
Right.
Why, like, it becomes less intimate? And it reminds me of, like, when Chrissy Teigen had the miscarriage and she, like, posted all those photos of her, like, crying in the hospital and stuff. And people are like, you're taking the time to, like, take these pictures. And I just never know how to feel about it because I see both sides.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the camp of, like, it's none of my business.
Right.
If you want to share that and his wife is fine with you sharing that or whatever, fucking post it.
Yeah, I think that's what makes sense because it's just like, I don't know. And not to get too into the weeds with this, but then it becomes this whole like cultural thing of like, how do we grieve in a world where everything's online anyway?
Yeah.
And I think that is really special. And I feel like if somebody very close to me, knock on wood. Sorry, Lola. I have to knock on wood. I can't take a risk with this. But somebody close to me were to pass. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, I see why people are like, that's weird. But then I'm also just like, this is, I also didn't know they were that close.
Yeah.
And this is such an intimate thing. And it's lucky he was able to have that. Yeah. Both of them were.
Too many people have too many opinions right now. And it's like, there's so much bigger shit going on in the world. Don't worry about what Alfonso fucking Ribeiro posts on Instagram. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good motto for everything.
Now, there is, this is the backlash that I thought you were talking about. There's just backlash in general about James Van Der Beek right now, because I guess he said he was going to, like, treat the cancer in a different way. Like, he wasn't going to use traditional methods and...
The Steve Jobs method.
What's that?
Where he was like, I'm going to go ahead and do the herbal route and then... cancer killed him, and it was like, how'd this happen?
I mean, look, that's up to you. That's everybody's
absolutely
personal thing, and that's like whatever. But the thing that people are actually mad about is that so James, his wife, and their six kids rented a 36 acre property on the outskirts of Austin. They moved there in 2020, so probably during COVID.
He had his diagnosis at this point or no?
I don't know. I don't think he announced it until like 2023. But so this was like just during COVID. They probably wanted to leave LA. And before his death, they actually like made moves to purchase the ranch. And they did this with help from his family and friends. And then after he died, his friend set up a GoFundMe to help like support his family, I guess. And that's what people are pissed about. They're like, because you're an actor and you're wealthy, you shouldn't be relying on other people. Now, they said that donations would go towards the cost of essential living expenses to pay bills and support the children's education. Now, as of Sunday, the campaign has pulled in more than $2.6 million in donations.
Wow.
So that is coming from fans. Which is my whole thing. It's like, everyone is really struggling right now.
Yeah.
And I get that. And I guess if you want to support someone's, that's up to you. I don't feel like they're forcing people to do it. But there's also, he's got a lot of wealthy friends. And they're also supporting it. Zoe Saldana. She has set up a recurring monthly payment of $2,500 for his GoFundMe.
Okay.
And Steven Spielberg donated $25,000. There's other people, like famous people, who have also donated.
Look, I love my friends so much, but you all are lacking, because why can't I have a friend set up a recurring $2,500 payment to me?
I know. I know. Well, I don't know if you know Broadway star Donna Vivino.
Please tell me it's not listed on the GoFundMe as Broadway star Donna Bobino donated.
It might be. But she didn't, I don't know if she donated, but she's like come to his defense because people are online like losing their minds about it. So on Instagram, she wrote, for those attacking James Van Der Beek's wife for having a GoFundMe, may I give you some facts in all caps? One, they don't own, in all caps, the farm they live on. They were renting. Two, he was not living off residuals. Now she's referencing James saying in 2012 or something, I want to say, a while ago, he had said that he was getting almost nothing in residuals from his time on Dawson's Creek. So that's essentially where it's at right now. People are kind of, he's politically, people are talking about his political views and like his herbal treatments and things like that. That's coming up a lot. I knew none of that.
Me neither.
Didn't know anything about it. All I know about James Van Der Beek is that I've heard he's a lovely human being.
Yes.
And that's all I care to hear right now. I have too much in my brain, you know?
It is. It's hard. It's really hard to walk the line of being alive in this day and age.
Yeah.
But I just want to make sure I understand this. He technically owned this ranch when he died, because he got help.
It's confusing because it says he purchased the ranch with help from friends and family, but also it said that he made moves to set up the mortgage. So they were renting it before, so maybe they bought it and still have a mortgage.
Okay, so it's to like pay it off.
Yeah,
is what this GoFundMe would be.
But I see people being like, "Why do you have six kids?"
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, whatever.
I ask that now for anybody with any kids. Why do you have kid? Why do you have kids? Like, why do you have three kids? Why do you, like?
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody does it. Number one, just does it.
Just emotionally and mentally does it, but let alone financially.
It's like, I'm barely keeping my head maybe even at water's level.
Yeah, especially today with the flood warning.
Yeah, truly. God. So is that it for...
That's it.
Vanderbeek?
That's it.
R.I.P.?
Yeah.
Six kids is a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. That's... I mean, to be his wife, you've got to be overwhelmed.
Yeah. You know what else is a lot?
What?
$200 million.
For me and for you.
Yeah, for us.
But is it enough for Britney Spears?
It's not enough for Britney Spears. So, in case you haven't heard, big news. End of last year, December 30th, Britney Spears made it official and signed away her share of the rights to her songs, but she does retain all rights to her name, image, and likeness.
Well, I would hope so. Can I tell you the theory I heard today from someone with dowsing rods?
Oh my God, not this dowsing rod shit.
My algorithm is very, very spiritual right now. Let me just say that. Like, I've got...
Oh God.
Tarot card readers, astrologers, I've got dowsing rods... Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. Mediums. I'm very in tune with the universe and the spiritual world right now.
I like how you say right now as if you're not always. I mean, I know it's probably more prevalent right now, but you're always at least peripherally in tune with it.
But it's everywhere right now. And I love the dowsing rod videos because you're getting like immediate answers to questions people are asking. And I don't know how true they are, obviously. But so there's this one woman who has been showing up, and I really like her. Like, I just like her vibe as a whole. And she's been asking a lot of questions about the Epstein files and things like that. And so one of the questions she asked today was about Britney Spears and other people and if they've been cloned if they exist anymore. Because now that's one of the theories, that all of these celebrities have been cloned. I'm like, where are we? And at this rate, I don't know. Anything seems likely these days.
I can't even... start
I know
to think about this right now.
I know, but somebody, I think one of the questions was, is Britney Spears a clone? And they said, the dowsing rod said no. The Britney that we are seeing in the videos and dancing and all of that shit is Britney. But she's been programmed in some way. So you're welcome for that information. Sit with that how you must.
I mean, we've all been programmed.
Arisha, come on. There's more to it than whatever's happening to you.
God, I hope so, because that would be a sad, sad reality if it wasn't true. Okay, so... So the company Primary Wave, they will now take over Britney's ownership share of many of her hit songs. Baby, One More Time, Oops, I Did It Again, You Drive Me Crazy, I'm a Girl, Not Yet a Woman, among many others. Mm-hmm. So it's not every single one of her songs.
Interesting.
I don't know how it was determined which songs they were buying, which ones they weren't buying.
Sounds like they were like, give us the biggest hits.
Well, I'm like, I didn't see, what song do I love so much that is Lucky? So underrated? No, Lucky's on there. There's another one.
I don't know.
Anyway. It's great, I guess. So we don't know how much she sold them for, but a source did tell TMZ that it was on par with Justin Bieber's reported $200 million deal to sell his back catalog. So that's kind of the number that's been going around. Forbes estimates that she's now doubled her personal fortune with this sale, which shocks me because they estimate that she's now worth $150 million.
That's it.
Exactly.
The rain's really coming now.
Oh, that's
you
rain.
Guys might hear some rain. That's okay.
I thought that was a bird fluttering. Because it's like right here in the corner of your room.
Yeah.
So back in 2021, they estimated that her net worth was $60 million. In 2021. It's just insane when you think about the other big pop stars like Taylor Swift,
right?
Beyonce. their net worth is so much higher.
Yeah. I mean, they're also still currently touring and doing all of that shit, yeah, though.
And they also weren't in prison for 13 years.
That and they didn't have helped to bankroll their dad's failed gym.
Exactly. That really takes its toll on your finances. But yeah, so she has sold it. Apparently, she is focusing on helping out her son.
Right. He's getting into music.
Yeah. Which one is it again?
Jaden, I think.
Jaden?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Keep them apart.
Yeah.
Or tell them
apart. I'm assuming it's the older one, but I don't know why I assume that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's it for that. She's
interesting. Yeah. Well,
still not letting us comment on her posts.
I know. I hope she feels fulfilled with the deal.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I'm curious why. Like, why is this happening?
I don't know. I mean, hasn't there been speculation that she's like running out of money or whatever?
Yeah. Well, so her friend did say it's all about honoring her legacy. This friend who's gabbing away to Page Six.
Her dear friend.
Yeah. So, but I'm just like, is it all about the money? Because it doesn't sound like she has a lot. And I hate the fact that we're saying $150 million isn't a lot. But given the level she was at her height of music.
Yeah.
It's insane to me.
I know. It's insane to me too. I think we're in the majority there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's a wild ass story.
Okay.
And it's about AI deepfake videos.
Oh, God.
And how Hollywood is losing their minds over it. So Irish filmmaker Ruari Robinson, I have no idea if I'm saying that correctly, and I unfortunately didn't take the steps to find out before we recorded.
Honestly, your delivery sounded perfect.
Okay. So he shared an AI-generated video on social media. This was last week. And the video was of Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt fighting on a Los Angeles overpass. Now, he made this video in Seedance 2, and he said it was a two-line prompt. I don't know if that was make Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise fight on an LA overpass.
That sounds like two lines.
It does. So Seedance 2.0 is a new AI service by ByteDance, which is the Chinese company mm-hmm. that owns TikTok. Now, the video was only 15 seconds long. And it's gotten over 1.4 million views to date. I mean, it's probably higher now.
I was going to say, my famous TikTok has 1.5 million views. So get on my level, C-suite talk.
ByteDance? C-dance?
Yeah, that's it.
But then he posted a follow-up video. And this was of them fighting in a similar location. But this time, there was dialogue.
Mmm.
So fake Brad says, "You killed Jeffrey Epstein, you animal. He was a good man."
Oh, no. What?
And then the fake Tom Cruise says, "He knew too much about our Russia operations. He had to die, and now you die too." That brilliant clip has gotten over 3 million views and climbing. I'm sure it's more now than from whenever this article was written. So SAG-AFTRA is pissed.
Because they didn't get their money.
Yeah. So they shared a statement to EW and they condemned ByteDance. And they accused the company of widespread copyright infringement. They said, "SAG-AFTRA stands with the studios in condemning the blatant infringement enabled by ByteDance's new AI video model, Seedance 2.0. The infringement includes the unauthorized use of our members' voices and likenesses. This is unacceptable and undercuts the ability of human talent to earn a livelihood." Preach. I'm so fucking sick of this shit.
I just can't believe. I thought that people thought this was real.
They might have.
And that's what I was going to say, because nowadays when I hear about an AI thing that fooled people.
Yeah.
I like check in with myself. Was I fooled? And if I wasn't fooled, I feel like, okay, I can breathe another day.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I wasn't fooled. Obviously, I knew this wasn't real. But then I'm like, the fact is, if more than zero people do think it's real, we're cooked.
There's got to be more than zero people.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. these people in the Midwest genuinely believe that there's a video of the world's end because it's flat.
What?
Like, there's that. Did you ever see that video where it was like, this is where the world is ends because it's flat? Like, maybe. If you get to the edge of the world and then you fall off. People believe that.
And it's only in the Midwest that they are believing this? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's concentrated in the Midwest.
Wow, attacking your roots?
I know. That's how I would know this.
Listen, listeners in the Midwest, we love you.
We really do. Standing in solidarity.
So yeah, that's, I mean, there's also people in Hollywood have like spoken up about it. The guy who wrote Deadpool and all the Now You See Me movies, he like posted the first video and he was like, I hate to say it, it's likely over for us. And
yes,
then he posted something and clarified and he's like, I'm not at all excited about AI encroaching into creative endeavors. To the contrary, I'm terrified. So many people I love are facing the loss of careers they love. I myself am at risk. When I wrote it's over, I didn't mean it to sound cavalier or flippant. But he said it's so realistic, then that's what scares him most about it.
That's what I thought he was saying.
Me too. That's how I took it. But people thought he was like just joking around like, oh, we're cooked, or you know how people say that shit.
Yeah. I just said.
Yeah. But is that flippant?
Like, I didn't think it was. Everything that he said, I was like, yeah.
It's a scary time to be a creative type of any kind right now.
It's terrifying. And just, I was telling you, the dinner party, I went to a dinner party last week, everybody. I don't know if I've mentioned it once or twice on any of the shows we've recorded.
Not in the last 10 minutes have you mentioned it.
But somebody was talking about, AI came up, and she was talking about how some of the scripts getting written and produced for, like, much lower budget things are AI, and how her friend wasn't getting as much work. And then she, like, pitched to be the person who would be training their AI. And it's like, this is the problem, because now the jobs in your field are to train AI to do the jobs that are in your field.
Exactly. And why would anyone do that?
And it sucks because it's like, there are people, I mean, I don't know this person's situation, but it's like, there are people that need money.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are we supposed to do?
We got to come together and rise up. I'm sorry. We got to fucking do that. Stop fighting about dumbass shit. Leave Bad Bunny the fuck alone and let's join forces and stop this shit. Don't train AI to do your job, no matter what your fucking job is. I know you need money, but that's okay. We got to toughen it out and stand up for ourselves. Up.
Yeah.
And we'll rise up.
No. God, every week you're going to have a rallying cry.
I'm a passionate person.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of Virgos lead cults.
You might also say she's an animated person.
Oh, God.
Who's a famous Virgo cult leader?
I don't know. Okay. I wasn't prepared to have follow-up questions.
Great.
But that's it for the AI deepfakes, which is crazy because I was going to say this. Do you remember that guy that used to do deepfake Tom Cruise videos? And he like looked a lot like Tom Cruise. That was like the very first deepfake. Like real hardcore deepfake stuff. I remember Paris Hilton doing fucking social videos with him. So it's like really come full circle that now Tom Cruise deepfake AI is trending.
Yeah. I need this circle to stop. I need it to be cut up.
I know.
And canceled.
The famous thing about circles is that they usually don't stop.
I know. It's time to break that trend. Another trend we should be breaking is NFL guys getting any kind of airtime when it's not an NFL game related thing.
Whoa. Unless, if Josh Allen wants to say anything, go ahead, babe. Take the floor.
Okay. You have to pass my standards for being a good human being. And Josh passes it.
How about we say football players who haven't committed crimes?
Okay. That was a much easier way of saying what I was trying to say. I appreciate that so much. My edible makes me dumb.
Yeah.
It's true. But we're talking about Stefon Diggs, obviously. But before we get into Stefon Diggs, I gotta get an answer for everybody, because I know we've all been wondering, are he and Cardi B donezo for real?
Mm-hmm.
Because she was at the Super Bowl. She had that very shady comment when somebody was like, do you want to, you know, have any words of inspiration for Stefon before the game? And she's like walking away and goes, good luck.
Yeah. Loved.
classic. So she is currently on her Little Miss drama tour. She just started. I think it started last week, actually. It just kicked off. And she and I don't know if she pronounces it Bia or B-I-A.
Bia.
Bia. Okay. Because it's short for Bianca, right?
I just know in a rap song I've heard, hey, Bia.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I didn't know who Bia was, but she and Cardi have drama that goes back years. I think everybody has that with Cardi.
She's always got some drama.
And that's what it means to be Cardi.
Yeah.
But so Bia wrote on social media, can you name someone with more BMs, baby mamas, than receiving yards? I can. And I know that dot, dot, dot. And then she writes YKWNVM, which is, you know what? Never mind. So she wrote that on social media, obviously taking a dig at Diggs.
The five Diggs.
Oh my God. Yeah. So then Cardi was on stage in LA Sunday night for her concert. And she said, let me tell you something. Just because I ain't fucking with my baby daddy doesn't mean you get to talk about my baby daddy, bitch. This is for you, bitch. And then she performed Pretty and Petty, which is a diss track that's actually aimed at Bia. So how perfectly, what a perfectly created beef to out like this.
You got to wonder how real it is at that point then.
I know.
If she's like, hey, can you tweet some shit so that I can intro this song? Keep this beef going.
That's what Kendrick will probably have to ask Drake to do so he can say, you know what?
Something,
bitch.
Something about that one feels like it's real. That beef. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. but the reason that this is, you know, something past just her and Bia's fun beef is that this is the first time Cardi has acknowledged that she and Stefan have called it quits.
Right.
Because before she was not speaking on it.
Yeah.
She was lap dancing on robots.
Oh, God. Like she fell.
Yeah. She's been all over the place.
I love her. But God, it's funny when people fall.
Oh, my God. The only person I won't laugh at falling are my parents. Everyone else I love watching.
Well, I wish I could say the same. But we to this day talk about one winter when we were leaving my aunt's house and walking to our house because we lived on the same street. And my dad fell and like slid on his butt down the driveway. And my mom and I could not keep it together. It was so funny. And we like still to this day joke about it. My dad was like, you fuckers. We're like laughing.
Well, that is funny. There are exceptions to every rule.
Sure. If somebody gets hurt, then it's like, right. It's funny, but then I feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But on the other side of this, Cardi B is Stefan Diggs.
Right.
He's still dealing with that pesky little charge of felony strangulation or suffocation, as well as the misdemeanor assault and battery charge. Now, these are coming from allegations from his former private chef. We talked about this on here, right? Was it on
we
here
did.
Or was it on Bird Book?
Okay. No, it was here.
So we talked about this. So we don't really need to get into it. But basically, he put in a plea of not guilty. He's like, I didn't do it. And his lawyer said, Stefan is completely innocent. He didn't commit any of the acts alleged in the complaint. And we were able to prove that. No, we are able to prove that. We're confident that after a full review of the facts and evidence surrounding these false allegations, Stefan will be exonerated.
What a lovely copy and paste statement.
He's confident.
What is he gonna say? I'm so sick of these statements. We don't care. Like, we don't give a fuck.
I just want the statements to be like, listen, I'm a good lawyer. I know how to make the law work for me, and I'm gonna fucking get him out of this because I'm really good at lying.
Yeah.
And then Stefan's going to be like, yo, bitch, yeah, what?
Right.
And then the chef is going to be like, monsieur, monsieur. I assume the chef is French.
Well, they've got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he pled not guilty?
Yeah. He's saying I didn't. He's saying not guilty. So he, and this is what's crazy about this thing. It's like he showed up in court to say not guilty.
Yeah.
And then headed home.
I know. I always think about that. Like, what are people doing in the off time of their crime and scandal? You know? What are they thinking about?
Oh, my God. if you have a conscience, you're probably sick to your stomach. If you don't, you're probably living great.
Yeah. You're a sociopath.
Yeah. Must be so nice. It must be so quiet in a sociopath's head.
It must be.
I wonder what that's like. Not in like a one, I want to know it, but.
But yeah.
Weird.
What's it like to have peace?
What is it like? I'll never know.
I'll tell you who doesn't know about that. This Norwegian biathlete's girlfriend.
Oh, no.
So let's get into some Olympic drama because the Olympics always have something fun going on, like drama wise.
Oh, yes.
And we got a couple things. So first, like I said, Norwegian biathlete Sturla Holm Lagreid. Does that sound good to you?
That's Norwegian for cheater, right?
Yes. He publicly confessed to cheating on his girlfriend during a live post-race interview after he won a bronze medal. And he said 3 months ago he cheated on the love of his life, the most beautiful and kindest person. He said, I told her a week ago, and it's been the worst week of my life. I had a gold medal in life, and there's probably a lot of people out there who look at me differently now. But I only have eyes for her. Now.
He did not add that last now, did he?
No, he didn't.
I wish he had.
He said, sports has taken a bit of a backseat these past couple of days. Yeah, I wish I could share this with her. He also said, I'm not ready to give up. I hope that committing social suicide like this might show her how much I love her. I accept the consequences of what I've done. I regret it with all my heart. Maybe I'm dumb as a rock. I'm a member of Mensa, but I still do stupid stuff.
Call me crazy, but no declaration of love should involve the word suicide. It's like, I think we learned that from Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
But we certainly should know that as adults by now.
Right. Right. But he's saying like he finally realized that he can't live his whole life keeping that secret from her. Uh-huh. He said, my only path to the finish line is to tell her everything and put it all on the table and hope that she'll still love me. I've done that for her and now the entire world. I have nothing to lose. And of course, everyone was like, dude, what the fuck are you doing, man?
It's like you had stuff to lose and you lost it.
Yeah. One internet user posted, may this love never find me.
Oh my God! Yeah, it's true. I am an internet user. It's me.
It's Arisha.
I'm the source.
Yeah. Who posted that? Diet Prada?
Diet Prada. I was like, because I don't look at my notifications.
Mm-hmm.
But Diet Prada showed us up in my feed and my friend had like commented and mm-hmm. had tagged me.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, so I saw her comment that like had my tag and I was like, what the hell is she talking about? And I thought she was just like referencing the comment, but I didn't know why she was commenting there. And then I swiped and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I tried to tell my mom about it. It doesn't translate well.
No, you really have to be like an online user.
Yeah.
To get it.
Yeah.
And
like
care.
You said, yeah. Internet user.
Now, that's not the only drama.
Mm-mm.
Poor Canada has got some drama. Double dose of drama. So, because remember last night I was like, oh, there's a curling cheating scandal going on in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So that was the men's team, and they were accused by Sweden of double touching the curling stone. So, like, after you release it, you're not allowed to touch it again.
Uh-huh.
And they were accused of, like, touching it. There's video, slow motion video. It does look to me like he touched it twice, but.
This is just like playing cards with you. You can't use both hands.
There are rules and they're meant to be followed in competition, in sport. So the Swedish player, Oscar Eriksson, alleged that the Canadian curler, Mark Kennedy, had touched the stone again after its release. Mark then denied the allegations and they broke out into a shouting match while still on the ice. Bless their hearts.
Amazing.
So Oscar Eriksson said, apparently it's all right touching the rock after the hog line, which I'm like, what are these words? What? And then Mark Kennedy said, I haven't done it once. And he told Eriksson that he could fuck off. And Oscar Eriksson said, okay, I'll show you a video after the game. And then Mark Kennedy said, how about you walking around my peel and dancing around the house? How about that? Come on, Oscar. Just fuck off. I don't give a shit. They were standing here and didn't call it. Are they all sharing a house?
Wait, what?
I don't know.
They're not from the same country, right?
No, it's Canada and Sweden.
Are they both speaking the same language or are these translated? What's the peel thing?
Walking around my peel is probably curling related. It's probably a curling term we don't
understand. Oh, oh, oh.
That, or they do that banana ritual before each match.
Where they put it flat on the ground and they walk around it.
Exactly, yeah. And you cannot walk around another team's peel.
I get it.
Yeah.
This is the Olympics.
But dancing around the house makes me think, because in my mind, I'm like, oh, they all share a curling house.
I don't think that.
In Olympic Village.
Well, according to what I saw on Heated Rivalry, mm-hmm. we got to talk about that show. They by teams, though.
I know. So I'm like, why would they be in the same?
Maybe they're like across the courtyard from each other and he can see them in the window dancing in the house.
Maybe. But that was the first bit of drama.
Okay.
So now the Canadian women's team is being accused of the same thing in their match against Switzerland.
Wow. The Swisses, the Swedes, the Canadians.
Yeah. So this is Rachel Homan or Homan. She was the one accused on the women's team. And after the violation was called by officials, Rachel denied that she committed the foul. And she said, like, absolutely not, 0% chance. When her teammates questioned the officials on why the call wasn't eligible for review, they were reportedly told to just trust the umpire.
Oh, my God.
And I guess the team, you could hear them swearing in their group huddle before the match started up again. So the Swiss women's team did win. So it really, I guess, was a wash. They won 8-7 on Saturday. And I think the Swiss team, oh wait, that was Swiss. The Swedish team also won.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the two teams that are accusing the Canadians did win.
Yeah.
Is this a scam that they're running? You accuse to distract from you using the ball, pushing the ball twice.
It's called a stone. How dare you?
Pushing the stone twice.
We're never going to get those press badges for the Olympics. I just, like, when you hear, like, Olympic cheating scandal, you expect more than this.
And needles and penises?
Needles and penises.
Remember they were enhancing their penises?
Oh, right. God, the ski jump.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, these scandals are insane.
I know. They are truly wild. But but you think of, like, we grew up with Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah.
No scandal you guys are going to do with your little curling stones now are going to ever, ever compare.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That was a true scandal. I had nightmares about that.
What do you mean?
Because, like, for some reason, I pictured it was, like, I do not know why. Do you remember in the olden days they would somebody in, like, a cartoon that was in jail had, like, a big ball and chain tied to them?
Uh-huh.
For some reason, I thought that's what she had used. And she was like, I just pictured Nancy, like, walking down, like, the hallway, and she had that big ball and chain and hit her and, like, knocked her down with her leg.
You're saying Tanya Harding had her own ball or Nancy Kerrigan was attached to the ball?
No, Tanya had her own ball that she was carrying and that's what she used to attack.
Okay, Nancy. Why did you think that?
I don't know.
See, this is why your parents should have let you watch TV so you knew what was going on. Now your dreams are all fucked up.
Honestly, maybe. All right, do you have anything else you want to pop in real quick?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, family, that's it. You guys know the drill. Find us on Instagram at Almost Famous Pod, at Brooke Sifrin, at Arisha Skidmore Williams. Come join us over on Patreon if you want to get an extra episode, I guess every week now because we do Fun Cut Friday.
Which we are going to make the last Friday of every month. We're going to make Fun Cut Friday public so you guys can get a taste of it and see if you want to sign up. And we're also working on adding some other stuff to the Patreon on the lower tier just to...
Yeah. Make it worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you know the drill.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.